Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
I've had sickness, and I've had pain. Oh, and my heart has been broken, and yes, my life has been strained. But I tell you, in spite of everything I've been through, oh, I still gotta say thank you. Oh, I've been up, and God knows there've been times when I've been down. Oh, I've had my life turned, completely around. Oh, but I want to tell you, in spite of everything that I've been through, oh, I made up my mind. I say, Lord, thank you. I thank you for your blessing. For the rest of my life, I'll say thank you. Praise the Lord. Not a second or another minute, Jesus. Not an hour of another day. But at this moment with my arms outstretched, Lord, I need you to make a way as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, here I am, I stretch my hands to thee. Oh, come and rescue me, I need you right away. I don't know who else has been this desperate, but I said, God, I need you now. Another minute, Jesus. Not an hour of another day, but here I am right now at manpower. I'm not ashamed to say I need you. Oh God, I need you right away. Somebody said here, the agony of being alone, fear of doing things on your own, the tests and trials in your life that God said will make you strong. And oh yeah, there have been waves of trials that beat up on me, oh, but I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful, because I know that in you, Jesus, I've got victory. Yeah, Lord, I need you now. I need you, I need you, I need you, I need you. Sometimes that don't get it. I gotta reach back for my grandmama's remedy. She said, I need the what you're in need of. Yeah, 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 yeah. Lord bless. You've been waiting on your healing. I tried, man, I know he will. Hey, oh, 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 bless. Oh, bless me right now. my Savior. He's my Savior. Oh, for the rest of my life, God, I come. Thank you, God, for being a God that I can run to when I'm in trouble, God. Oh, I come. Sometimes I'm weary, wounded, beaten, battered, broken, and scorned, but here I am, God, I come. Sometimes crying, God. Sometimes crawling, but oh, I come just as I am without one plea. I come to, and when He blesses me, I'll sing hallelujah. God, you get the glory. Don't wait till the battle is over. Shout right now. I sing hallelujah. Oh, God is just a man. I'll sing hallelujah. Oh, I'll be ever careful to give you the glory. Oh, and I thank you in advance, God, you've already revived us again. He knows where you're hurting right now.
Yes, yes, yes.
Revived us again. Praise your name, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus, revive us once again. Our scripture from today comes from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. So we're in the New Testament. We're going to do a little reading today. Got your safety belts on? Got your sword? Your pencil and your paper? And you have an open mind to receive the Word of God. If there's a word for you that's going to carry you through something this week, hallelujah, may it be a remnant word that you can hold on to, that you can pass on to someone in need, hallelujah, not just when this situation is over, but for every situation that you can reach down inside of you in the hidden parts of your heart and get His word and apply it to your situation over and over again. What you're learning today can stay with you even into your old age. Hallelujah. On your dying bed, you can still work the word. Because the word will work if you work it. Come here. I invite you. Come here. Open up your heart. Regardless of what's going on, whoever you're mad at, whoever you're upset at, come here. Come. Come. You, my sister, right there in the midst of where you're at, come. Receive the word of the Lord. Oh, I beg you. I dare you to come. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Because this word may not be for me, though. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't even know. But God knows. God knows. And He has led you here right now. Whatever day it is, whatever time it is, right now. To come. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. Speak over your situation. He wants to bless over your situation. Anoint that situation. Anoint your family. Come. 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourself also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. This is about living for God. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, detestable idolatry. They think it's strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you because you're living for God now. Verse 5 says, but they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and to him who is ready to judge the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged accordingly to men in regard to the body, but live accordingly to God in regard to the spirit. Hallelujah. Live accordingly to God in regard to the spirit. God bless you, guest 33. We see you in the chat room. Verse 7. We're at 1 Peter 4. Going to verse 7. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded. We can't afford to sit here and get double-minded, get all fuzzy and cloudy and scared. But it said, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled that you can pray. If you allow yourself to get in so deep in situations and listening to what he said and she said and their opinion, when the world's going to end, 2012, it's going to be the year 2000. It's always been predicted something by man. But it will cloud your thinking so much that you won't be able to find your way into prayer. You will discuss it, have more entertainment by discussing it with your fellow citizen, your brothers and your sisters, than you do coming to God in prayer. So it tells us to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, verse 8 says, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over a multitude of sins. There are some situations where you see somebody do somebody wrong, but they still, if you even come in to try to defend them, they will turn on you because they'll say, but I love this person. Because that love is covering over a multitude of sins. So if we as flesh can love like that, how much more can our Heavenly Father love us? His love will cover over a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Verse 9 tells us to, as we're living for God. Again, 1 Peter 4. And now we're at 9, living for God. So it tells us in verse 9, if we offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, without the grumbling, without running to tell your neighbors that I had to do this for her, if it wouldn't have been for me, they would not have ate. You're not doing it. You're not doing it with a sincere heart. But it says if you do it without grumbling, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. Whew, hallelujah. What if every time before we open our mouth that we just took that verse right there? If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Hallelujah. We've just read our scripture. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 12. God bless the readers. God bless the hearers. And who else? God bless the ones who's going to do the word. Who not only is going to hear the word, but is going to do the word. That is going to make a difference in your life. You can apply it to your life. You're going to do the word. God bless you. God bless you. I do thank them for the patience. God is God. And Satan is not going to prevent the word from being given. Hallelujah. We was very late getting on, but the God said, still give the word. Go right ahead and give the word. So hallelujah, here we are giving the word. Good stewardship. Have you ever wondered what stewardship is? What God expects you to do with your possessions? Hallelujah. What does he expect you to do with your possessions? 1 Peter 4 and 10. 1 Peter 4 and 10. Who is still in the New Testament? We just went over, as 10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Hallelujah. And let's just put 11 back with it again. So it says, if anyone speaks, he should do what? He should do it as if speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Now that means even when you're going through your troubles, your trials, also at that time, God should still be able to get some praise. You should still be able to see, God, where is the praise? Where is it that you're going to get praise out of this? Show me how to praise you my way out of this. Because through all situations, you are going to get the praise. I want to praise you. Reveal to me, dear Father, how I can get the praise to you. And when you don't have nothing else just to say, God, I praise you. God, I praise you. My situation is this. My situation is that. My situation looks like it's going to go on forever, but I know that you are God that creates a way out of no way. Hallelujah. For my benefit. So the words I speak out of my mouth, I want to do it as if I'm speaking the very words of you. This is your word. And I want to praise you all the way through. I want to praise you. Hallelujah. Let's go to the left and let's go to Luke. Let's go to Luke. See what Luke has to say for us tonight. Hallelujah. When we get to the book of Luke, we're going to go to chapter 12 and we're going to start around, let's start at 41, verse 41. So again, we're going to the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we're going to go to the chapter 12, start at verse 41, and we will read until 48, around 48. Okay? All right. And let's read. 41 says, Peter said, talking to Peter here, it's about watchfulness. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? Now, you have to go back and read the whole parable for itself. But for the sake of time, let's just jump in right here. The Lord answered, because we want to hear what God has to say. He said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at all the proper times? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. When you return, who will he find? Will he find you doing what you are supposed to be doing? He says, I tell you the truth. He will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time to come. People say it's taken Jesus a long time to come. So I Pastor Dr. Drew said that he's never even came. He hasn't even made it the first appearance. People say, I don't even know if he is coming. I did believe, but it's taken him a long time. So it's like, suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. Remember when Moses went up to be with God? And they said, the people said, it's taking him too long. We're tired of waiting on him. Something must have happened to him. He's never returning. Let's just build our own God. Let's start idolizing silver and gold. Hallelujah. Taking too long. Same thing we're talking about here. Verse 46 says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Hallelujah. And will assign him a place with the unbelievers. So you get caught up and you say you're in the word, and then something happens, and you feel like in your situation that God is not working fast enough. And God is not doing what he said he was going to do. And it's taking him too long to go ahead and get you out of that situation. But you're not doing anything. You're just waiting on God. You're just saying that if it's God's will, he'll get me out. You're not taking the first step. You're not doing anything. You're just waiting on God. And God is just waiting on you. And God is just waiting on you to be a good steward. To be a good steward, to not give up, to not give out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said the master is coming when you do not expect him. He's coming in an hour that you're not aware of. Hallelujah. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. So all that said, holy, holy, and God, God, is not going to enter into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Servanthood. To be a good steward, you must learn how to serve. It's no secret that our society is materialistic. God has a different perspective, though. Don't get caught up in it. God has a different perspective, though. When you consider God's part in creating the world, you realize that everything you own is really God's. You've got to first realize God's part in creating the world. You understand that everything you own is really God's. It's not yours. It's God. While you're here on earth, he is entrusting you with it. Why do you think he won't let you take it with you? Because it's not yours. He's just entrusting you with it. Because all you have is on loan from God. You know not to cling to your possessions. You've got just on loan from God. All of the things, look around you, all of the things that you have acquired, it's really not yours. It all belongs to God. And you're only on loan. You said, but I paid this and this. It's not enough money to acquire. It's still on loan from God. They will only slip away through your fingers. The tighter you try to hold on to them. You ever saw a dead person clench and try to hold on, but eventually that hand releases? Whatever you've got is going to release. You got to let it go. So all the possessions that you have acquired, they will only slip through your fingers, my good steward. When God entrusts you with these possessions, expects you to honor him with what you have. To honor him. It's not so important that you honor others. But you got to start first with honoring him. Then others and yourself for your joy. See, the Bible teaches that we are to give God our first fruit, meaning the first, the best of all we have, whether it's our time, our tithe, whatever it is, the best, our first fruit. You're the head of your household and you're putting more time in on your job than you are with your family. That's not your first fruit. Hallelujah. It's because God needs your money. Do you think it's because God needs your money? You must be kidding. Why then is giving so important? Why then is giving so important? Or what does God expect you to do with your possessions? See, when you give, you put your possessions in a proper perspective. You put your possessions in a proper place. You're recognizing that your possessions are not higher than your God. Your possessions is not more important to you than your Creator. So you're putting your possessions in a proper place. Hallelujah. When you give your time, your best at whatever you do. Giving also helps you participate in God's work. It helps you to participate in God's work. Giving. God bless you, 1264. Giving. It helps you participate in God's work. Giving helps you and your heart condition far more than it helps God. I'm a giver. I love giving. I love giving. It does my heart good to give. Hallelujah. It does my heart good to give. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So giving actually gives you and your heart condition, that joy that you need. Good stewardship means that you work and you give cheerfully. You work and you give cheerfully. Hallelujah. Take inventory of your gift. Take inventory of your talent. Take inventory of your possessions. Hallelujah. Invest them in the world around you so that with a glad heart, you can report back to the giver. Invest in your talent. Invest in your talent. Let's take a look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25, so we're in the New Testament. Matthew 25, and then we're going to start at verse 15. So we're just going to go to the right, to the right, to the right, to the right. Torp, I hope you have your Bible with you. Let's go to Matthew 25, start at verse 15. And we'll go down to like 23 in that vicinity. Starting at verse 15, and it reads, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So another, the one with 2 talents, gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents bought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained five more. Hallelujah. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man with the two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. I have gained two more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. He goes, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you, the one talent. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the banker, so that when I return, I would have received it back with interest. He says, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Will be taken away from him. Hallelujah. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hallelujah. God bless. Whoa. Good servant. Good steward. Good steward. Let's not hide our talent. Let's not hide and hold on to our spiritual gift. A good steward usually finds ways to multiply. Hallelujah. To do things. You may start working in one area and you expand out. You listen to the voice of the Lord as he leads you to other areas to expand. A good steward. A good steward. So good stewardship means that you work and give cheerfully. That you take inventory of your gifts, of your talents, of your possessions, and that you invest in them. Invest them in the world around you so that with a glad heart, you can report back to the giver of what you've done with your talent, how you have been a good steward. Hallelujah. Some of your personal applications are you abusing what God has entrusted you with? Are you abusing what God has entrusted you with? Will you not go speak the word if you've been chosen and called? Will you not go speak the word if the price is not right? Will you not get up and go pray for the sick because of the time on the clock? Are you abusing what God has given to you? He's trusting you with that gift. What gifts can you invest in God's kingdom? How can you take your gifts and invest it? Just like you invest in your money. And invest it in the kingdom of God. What gift can you invest in God's kingdom? Second Corinthians 9 and 7 says, each one should give as you have decided in your heart to give. You should not be sad when you give. And you should not give because you feel forced to give. Because God loves the person who gives happily. Happily. God loves the person who gives happily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Given good stewardship. at the right place, at the right time, listening to God's word, obeying God's word, doing something, giving. And you must, as a good steward, learn to serve others. The Bible challenges those who believe in God to make themselves living sacrifices. We sing the song. Living sacrifices is what the Bible challenges us to do. Fully giving themselves to serving God. Fully giving themselves to serving other people. Read Romans 12 and 1. Let's just go there real quickly. Romans 12 and 1. Serving God. Serving other people. And it reads, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Your spiritual act of worship. Holy and pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Giving yourself fully, living sacrifice. He said, I urge you. He's trying to give you the importance of it. In the view of God's mercy, your act of worship, when we praise him and as we worship, we want to have a living sacrifice. We want to come before him as a living sacrifice, pleasing to his eyes. We want to be holy because he's the holy of holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in order to help someone, you must see yourself as having something to give. You got to have something to give. We all have something to give, and you need to see yourself as having something to give in order to help someone, regardless of what your situation is. You can be homeless right now, but you have something to give. You have a word in you. You have something to give. Being a good steward, just the fact that you are still a good steward in your situation, you've still been a good steward, that's a testimony to give that can change and touch life. Families, right now. Don't wait until you make it out of your situation to try to express it and tell your testimony, but right now, in the midst of that thing. That's what ministry is. Ministry isn't necessarily a full-time job as a pastor or a full-time job as an evangelist or as a counselor. Ministry is getting outside of yourself and giving to bless another person. The Bible instructs us to think of giving and serving in the same way. 2 Corinthians 9 and 12. It says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. This is the service that you perform, showing expressions to God, expressions of thanks. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, many will praise God for the obedience that accomplishes your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. It will cause them to confess. It will cause them to be obedient and praise God. Although you may not realize exactly what you have to give, it's important to know that once you confess Christ as your Lord been forgiven for your sins and developed a good relationship with God, you have a lot to give. You have a lot to give. For one thing, you're able to give others the truth of God's forgiveness. The truth of God's forgiveness. A gift of hope. That's truly valuable. When you take the attitude, if God can forgive me, he can forgive anybody. You're fully equipped to share the message of hope. Share the message of a life-changing message. You're able to share with any willing listener. I once heard a woman who come out of the drug and free sex culture in the 1960s, and she used drugs, and she had a couple of abortions, and then she heard about God's forgiveness and accepted it for her life. Her choice, she had to accept it for her life. And she became part of a church, and after about 6 months, the pastor realized that most of the church new members had joined because of this lady. So he asked her one day, he said, "What is it that you say to people? You're one of the best recruiters we've ever had, using her talent." And she answered, she said, "Well, not much. I just tell people that I was really messed up, and Jesus cleaned me up." Ah, hallelujah. She said, "I just tell them that he forgave me and that he gave me a brand new start." Isn't that great? When some of them ask me, "Do you think Jesus can give anybody a brand new start?" She said, I said, "Yes." And I invited them to come to the church. This woman had a 23-word message to share. She didn't quote the Bible or offer deep theological answers. She didn't go on and on about how badly she had been messed up. She cut right to the chase with good news. She shared her heart, and dozens of people experienced God's forgiveness as a result. Oh, hallelujah. You can use your testimony in Christ to bless others as well. It will be your service in the name of the Lord. And your personal, as you personally carry out the Great Commission, and you share the good news of God's forgiveness, and that's a gift that's really worth giving. It's really worth giving. Remember the story of the lady. She cut right to the chase. She went with the attitude that if he can change me, if he can give me a new start, he can do it for anybody. I want to tell somebody what he's done for me. I don't have to go through the whole testimony. I just have to lead them to Christ. It's not up to me to try to save them, but I need to take them to a Savior who can. I need to introduce them to a Savior who can save. That's been a good story. Thus being a good steward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's been a good steward. As we close tonight, God bless you. I have such a wonderful time being here with you. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Just remember, God's foremost rule of finance is this. The foremost rule of finance from God says, we own nothing. You don't get a big head about what you think you own. We own nothing. We are managers, not owners. You're just managing what you have for now. He's entrusting you with it, so take care. Take care of it. But you're just managers of what you own now. You're not owners. You're stewards, not landlords. You're maintenance people, not proprietors. And our money is not ours. It is His. Our money is not ours. It is His. And we are, will be held accountable to God. Have you ever wondered, once you're saved, are you accountable to God for your actions? Have you ever wondered what God requires from you? We will dive into that on our next section. Then we have believe and be baptized. We're going to touch on 3-in-1, and then we need to find comfort in the dark. How do I find comfort in the dark? During my tough times. Then we're going to spread the good news. And then we'll end our series with a leader who serves. Accountable to God is our next one that we're coming with. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, for being here, for working through us, working around us, just taking what we need and just hiding the word inside of us. Sowing that seed, dear Father, that in our midst of our troubles, and we can lean on it, we can pull it out. You're good, Lord, and I thank you for giving us the opportunity to taste and see your goodness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love, your peace, your honor, and your power. In Jesus' name, we ask you to accept all that is coming to you tonight for the first time, or returning back to you, to give their life over to you, to make you Lord and Savior over their life. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, just repeat after me. Lord, I believe, I accept, I receive, and I confess. I accept you as my Lord and my God. I invite you to come live in me. I believe, God, that you gave your only Son that my sins may be covered, that I can have a way to come back to you, that I no longer have to be separated from you because of my sins, because I can confess my sins to you. And right now, Father, I confess that you are my Lord, you're my Savior, and that through Jesus is the only way to return to you, my Father. I'll take control of my life, Jesus. I surrender. I open my arms and dedicate my life to you. In the mighty name of Yeshua, come work in me. Come live in me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. You're a new creature. Clean slate with God is what you have right now. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com, at 210-264-5287. Again, my name is Evangelist Von Dumas. Evangelist Von Dumas in San Antonio, Texas, and we're with the Tri-Anointed Ministry. You're always welcome to call in here on the Blog Talk Radio or leave us a message. If you need a Bible, whatever material you may need, just let us know. The guest call-in number here is 646-652-4916. Again, it's 646-652-4916. If you're in the San Antonio area, we will be having a women's conference on November 7th. There's a free conference. You're more than welcome to come. Please call for more details. 210-264-5287. Tell your friends. Come out and be blessed. Again, 210-264-5287, where you can get all the details. All right. God bless you. May God keep you until we meet again. We will take the time, and I've heard from you about the trivia questions, that we have not did the trivia, but we will take the time and get caught back up on the Bible trivia questions. and give the answers to the previous ones that was asked. Until then, make sure, check yourself. Because, Lord, don't you want to be a living sacrifice for the Lord? That's what he expects from us. Why would we want to do that for him? We want to live in that life. Hallelujah. A living sacrifice. Until the next time, this is Evangelist Von Dumas. Then God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Rate the show. It's important that you rate the show. We love you.
For tonight. How many people have something to be thankful for? You can look back over your shoulder and see where God brought you from and say, Lord, you've been good to me. This is what you ought to do.